This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Renewable energy is making its way to the food world with solar cooking, which uses the sun's energy to prepare food. It's not only convenient for, say, campers, but it could provide a means to environmentally clean cooking solutions in developing countries. Cincinnati-based Go Sun Stove has come up with a solar cooker that works day and night. And joining us this afternoon are Go Sun Stove founder Patrick Sherwin, Go Sun Stove founding member and social designer Matt Gillespie, and executive director of thisland.org, and adjunct horticulture professor at the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Braden Trouth. Braden, Matt, and Patrick, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Patrick, what was the inspiration for this idea?
Well, I've been into solar energy for about 15 years, and I essentially captured a solar hot water heater off of a rooftop and tried to repurpose it for a secondary purpose and discovered that it could cook hot dogs fantastically. And hence the idea began and led into a decade of exploration until about 4 years ago when I really got serious about it and came up with a smaller version that's available for the consumer market.
It isn't amazing how innovation can come from the simplest things that are already in existence.
Yeah, ad hocism, you know, it's already there. You just have to look at it in a new way.
Matt, why is there a need for this, as opposed to methods of preparing foods that use traditional cooking fuels?
Yeah, well, around the world, one of the largest problems faced is actually fuel wood scarcity. There are about 3 billion people on Earth right now that are cooking with dirty firewood or carbon fuels. And solar can provide a clean alternative that doesn't hurt a person's health or cut down vitally needed resources like forest.
Yeah, it's very true. If you around the world, the 3 billion people who are cooking with wood or even lower fuels, such I've seen in places that are more sparse with wood, things like yak dung or cow dung due to sparsity, or charcoal in more tropical places like Haiti. It's having a huge ecological toll on the planet. And, you know, there's proper ways to manage it. But, you know, finding new technologies is a huge help and assistance, especially to shift our dependence on fossil fuel, especially to bring those people more up to speed into sustainable methods. So,
Braden, what's been your involvement with this project?
I've known of these guys for a while, and it's really exciting to witness how they've developed this concept. I've seen Patrick play around with it, and once he met these industrial designers, you know, really putting together and plugging it in and creating a really impactful product that has really taken off. It's really impressive to witness and see not only the impact that it's had, but also the excitement, and just the really marketing success with it.
So. Yeah, it's been incredible, the experience, seeing how this product has made waves around the world. There are people from Europe to Asia, languages that we still have inquiries coming in, and from around the world, people seeing that the future is green and this technology has a place in it. So it's been a really eye-opening experience that energy is a universal problem facing humanity right now.
I think one thing that goes to back up its success is really the functionality of it as well. Witnessing, you know, how it can heat up to about 500 to 600 degrees and, you know, out in direct sunlight pretty quickly. So,
where are you marketing this the most?
At the moment, we're focused in developed markets, so the U.S., Europe, other countries. But we have another side to our business that's more focused on emerging markets, that's developing right now, and that's to create a lower, more cost or a lower priced, more accessible version for those people living every day cooking with wood and charcoal.
So we've started off on a model that is founded in, you know, regular business, a for-profit here in the States, as Matt said, Japan, Europe, and that's going pretty well. We're starting to eke a profit now that we're in our third year. And then with the profits, we want to really push a social enterprise and bring a solution at a much lower cost to those in need. As Braden mentioned, there's about 3 billion people still cooking with solid fuels on a daily basis. So this is an issue that's not received a ton of attention in American spotlight, or even globally. About 6 years ago, the Global Alliance for Clean Cookstoves was formed through the United Nations Foundation. It was led with Hillary Clinton's support. And the Global Alliance has now, in a short order, brought in over $400 million of private equity investments into the sector and has driven quite a bit of change. They have some very lofty goals to place 100 million clean cookstove technologies in the hands of the world's bottom of the pyramid, the poor, over the next few years by 2020. And we're the first solar cookstove to be supported by the Global Alliance. And so we're super excited for that effort to really start to take off.
So, Patrick, describe this to me. What does it look like?
So it's all based about a evacuated tube, or essentially a vacuum tube where two layers of Pyrex glass are, there's a vacuum between them, making a perfect insulator. We focus light onto the tube with a series of reflectors that are made with a compound parabolic shape. And then there's a little base to keep it standing. The tube is placed in a horizontal format with a stainless steel tray that slides in and out of the tube carrying the food. Our current version carries food for about two people or a couple pounds of food at a time, and it'll make a meal in 20 or 30 minutes with sunlight.
Wow. And I think Braden said it gets up to 500 degrees. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
In that neighborhood? Wow.
Yeah. It's really impressive how quickly it'll heat up. I've worked with solar cookers in the past, whether when we used to build solar-powered homes out in New Mexico or traveling, through Asia, especially in areas where there's not a lot of wood. And you'll see people using solar cook stoves, and oftentimes it's not in a real functional way. It's oftentimes, I've seen ones that are the size of satellite dishes reflecting sunlight to a teapot in the center, and that works in a culture where you don't have a lot of fuel wood, you tend to drink a lot of tea, and you don't want to have to be tending the pot all day, so you put it out there. But the trouble with those is that it takes a real long time. You really have to, just let the sun do its work and do its magic and wait for the pot to heat up. This, however, you can really start to plan your day around it because, the efficiency, basically. So
yeah, the tube is such a game changer in that even in freezing weather, windy conditions, or even partially cloudy conditions, your food will still cook and you can still finish a meal. And I think a lot of people in around the world want that security if they're going to try to convert their cooking into to use the sun.
Matt, would you say this is as efficient as a traditional thing, as like a stove or a traditional kind of grill?
Timing-wise, yeah, it cooks in just about the same amount of time as a normal stove would in full light conditions.
Even on a day like today in November when it's 40 degrees outside, as long as there's good sunlight, you can put a meal inside these tubes and have it cook just as quickly as your conventional oven inside.
Patrick, it can cook in day or night. Can it cook on a cloudy day, too?
Yeah, it will work through cloudy periods. Now, it's not going to work as well because it is a solar cooker. We are working on a solution to cook through any conditions, and we're going to release that in 2016. That'll be very exciting.
That right there is a real global challenge, and it's impressive to see how these guys have been addressing that. If you go to a lot of places, either, it can be cloudy, it can be rainy or whatever, and so really limits, or even nighttime, it limits some of the potential, but seeing some of the work they've done is really impressive.
Yeah, so much of our innovation comes from just listening to our customers, and that goes in emerging markets as well. I was working in Guatemala with our Global Alliance for Clean Cookstove funded grant, and I saw firsthand that the women, they were asking, we want this ability to cook at night. We want the security of knowing that our food will finish. We listened and we went back to the drawing boards figuring, how can we make this real?
And I'm still impressed that the idea for this came from a solar water heater.
We're solar crazy, and I'm always trying to figure out what we can do with the sun.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Now, there's a stove. Is there a grill version of this too? I mean, are there two different things that you're working with here?
It's the same basic technology with the vacuum tube, but we recently launched a much larger version that we're calling the GoSun Grill. Grill has led to, the word is depending on how you interpret it, we're sort of pointing ourselves at the culture of grilling, taking food outside, cooking it in the backyard, hanging out, take it to a tailgate party, whatnot. It doesn't really grill meat, per se. It won't give you that black, crusty, carcinogenic stuff that we all love.
You don't get the good charcoal flavor or anything like that.
Well, that's the one thing we can't do.
Well, how exactly is it cooking the food? Is this broiling? Is it
somebody
baking,
mentioned or? Like stew fry. There's a lot of moisture inside the tube, so it really does sort of steam the food. And you can get it hot enough to fry and caramelize or brown.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you would like to join the conversation. Matt, is this a way to make alternative more energy more accessible by boiling it down to a really practical kind of device?
Yeah, exactly. And if you were to, say, install solar panels on your house today, it would be a few thousand dollars and a real commitment. We're trying to create a solar solution that can be adopted at a much lower price point that can instantly integrate into your life. And I think that's applicable for...
Yeah, I mean, solar stoves, looking at products themselves, those products, I was trained as a product designer at UC years ago and have focused on sustainable design for a long time. And products themselves are traditionally more consumptive in terms of energy. And this product will actually create more energy than it takes to manufacture, most likely, depending on, you know, the inputs and everything. So especially depending on how long you have it last, the longer it's operating, the more energy it's producing, and thus reducing our dependence on non-renewable or even renewable sources of energy. So it's really impressive.
How durable a product is this?
It's pretty tough. We were very surprised. I was super nervous when we sent thousands of them out to our first customers, and because you know, you hear how stupid customers are. But people have been very respectful. We've had very few warranty issues. These are made out of a tough Pyrex glass, and we offer a 2-year no questions asked warranty. But we've only had 10 people take us up on the warranty with thousands of units in circulation.
How do you control the temperature on it?
Well, generally, when you're cooking with the sun, you want as much temperature as you can get. And that's, usually the case. You're hungry. You want to cook a meal. You just want it to be ready as fast as possible so that you can eat. So I rarely see customers wanting to slow down the temperature of a solar oven. But if you want to, on our device, it's very easy to lean it out of the sun, to close the reflectors, to leave the mouth of the tube open so that some of the heat will escape that way.
Matt, you said that you're getting emails and from all over the world about this. How many do you get typically?
It depends, but at the moment we are participating in a global conference this week, so we're receiving floods everywhere from Malaysia, South Africa, South America. So there's a huge amount of international interest, more than we can respond to at the current moment.
You think that's because people recognize the need for this?
Yes, absolutely. When you spend time in these developing countries and see the extent of ecological damage that fuel wood's creating, it's such an intuitive solution. Why not cook with the sun that's here every day?
Yeah, I mean, relying on fuel wood has created deserts around the earth, which currently we're creating about 75 square miles of desert a day through poor ecological management practices. And that's from taking too much fuel wood and really low-producing ecosystems and things like that. And so technologies like this can really take that stress load off the ecosystem, allow it to rebuild and, start to build more resources for the locals, for managing climate change, things like that. So
I think part of what we're doing right is we're trying to treat these people in emerging markets as customers. They're not charity cases. We want to provide for them a superior quality product that's aspirational. We're putting a lot of energy into figuring out, before we reach out into any of these more difficult to work places around the world, how to get people to really want what we're giving them and how we can service them so that they come out of it feeling happy and having been being part of the future rather than just an aid.
Just like here in America, if you buy a new product, how excited you get and what that can mean in your life. I mean, if you go back 50, 60 years looking at appliances here in America and how they shifted the household, this product can really shift a household in terms of harvesting fuel wood, in terms of taking time to cook, and really starting to transform, the livelihoods of 3 billion people.
So. Yeah, the average woman in Guatemala we worked with saved more than 2 hours a day using the solar stove. In large part because it didn't require maintenance. They didn't have to prod the coals. They could let it go and do other things entrepreneurship, take care of their kids.
So it's time effective. How cost effective is it, Matt?
Well, it depends on what market you're looking at and what fuel they're using. But some of our estimations show that it should be able to pay for itself within a few months.
Yeah, I've witnessed that firsthand working down in Haiti, helping people reforest places and, you know, calculating the cost of charcoal that they use down there, the ecological cost, which is one cost, but also just the monthly cost they spend on charcoal itself is about $6 a month. And so, you know, you extrapolate that out, this thing will pay itself off pretty quickly. You know,
and we're certainly trying to make it a market-based solution. In other words, we want to make, as Matt mentioned, a true and authentic demand coming from the folks in these faraway remote places at the bottom of the pyramid. And when they want the product, they'll bring in a little bit of cash to pay for it. We want to sell it at a break-even type of price point. We're not trying to make money off the world's poor. And then effectively, you know, we're really looking for an impact. And we're looking for impact investors, for folks that want to also see this change, to see women in these areas saving time, saving money for their families, keeping their kids in school, working on their own micro enterprise while dinner cooks.
Patrick, how did you initially go about funding all this?
Well, I did it with the good graces of people like Matt, who were able to work for pennies. Basically, I don't have deep pockets, and I self-funded the whole business to this point. We use Kickstarter also, which is a crowdfunding platform, to raise our initial capital and really get the ball moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've got the GoSun stove and you've got the GoSun grill. Do they come in various different sizes?
Yeah. In 2016, we're going to have a sort of a small, medium, and large. So right now, the product available for the holiday season is the GoSun Sport, which is the ability to cook for 2 and 20 or 30 minutes. The grill will be available in like second quarter 2016. That'll cook for 8 in about an hour. And that one will be a little bit more stationary in the backyard patio. And next year, we're also looking to launch a product that's true to the beginning roots of GoSun, which is the mini, basically a hot dog cooker. Hot dogs are pretty popular in America, and they're really wonderful when they're cooked inside this. So being from Porkopolis here in Cincinnati, we figured we'd go back to that route.
Well, can you cook just about anything on this?
Yeah, you really can. Yeah, it's wonderful for baking, which was something we hadn't initially designed for. It's great for root vegetables, meats, fish. You can do grains. Some of the larger products are great for those more staple foods.
Now, you're a Cincinnati-based company. Are there other companies in Cincinnati doing anything similar to what you're doing?
No, none that we know of.
No. There's very few in the world that I think I could even think of that are doing solar cooking on a scale that these guys are really presenting and having success with. You know, it's powerful to see the community that developed around the cooking methods, too. I've seen some Facebook pages and things like that.
Certainly. So. There are few things closer to a person's heart than their stomach. We have a bustling Facebook group with about 2,000 members sharing recipes from around the world. And they're all commenting that the flavor, they really can notice the difference. The low temperature, high moisture cooking environment makes meats more succulent, breads softer. There's a lot of potential culinarily that people are really taking to heart.
So this is something that's is really catching on, Patrick.
Yeah, within 2 years we've captured thousands of customers. I think we've sold over 5,000 units now, and we've raised well over $1 million. If money is the metric, I'm very happy at that point. But I think it's actually a rocket ship ride that's really going to be on an exponential trajectory, and we're just really at the tip of that iceberg. So it's about to really blow up, especially once we actually tap the global south, you know, the social enterprise, the places like India, Mexico, Brazil, China. And we're traveling to those places now. We're at a conference this week in Africa with some of our representatives. And they got rid of all the business cards and print material in the first day. This one solar oven that's on the continent of Africa is now worth $20,000 because it's the only one, and everyone sees how valuable this technology is. And I'm a performance-based thinker. You know, I'm an engineer, so to speak. And the way this thing performs, it blows you away. away. Every time a hot meal comes out of it, you just can't really believe it. Really? It sounds
incredible. Yeah.
And then, you know, with the help of DAP program here at UC, we've really made what was a well-designed, you know, performing, efficient product into a cool-looking thing with a great marketing story behind it. And now it's become a bit of a viral impact.
So how soon do you think it'll be available across the globe in these emerging countries?
I mean, you're starting into it now,
but do you have any ideas when it's going to hit the markets?
Well, we're laying in the groundwork to figure out. We're putting a lot of energy right now looking at India, which is soon going to be the world's largest country. I'm doing a market analysis. So in 2016, we're going to be putting more energy into that. And once the grill is available for delivery, we'll have more inertia than ever. And so expect great things in 2016.
Let's talk with David in Dayton. Hi, David. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. I had a question about the cook stoves. A lot of cook stoves that you see today look like an appliance that came from a New York City kitchen and not something that would be in a third world country. And I wondered what's being done or how can you alter or adapt those stoves so cultures can kind of express themselves through patterns or designs or kind of make it their own and incorporate it into their kitchens, which are most likely beautiful patinas and colors and not these harsh steel objects that are bright, shiny, or neon green.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Yeah, that's a great question. Great observation. Yeah, it ultimately starts by listening to them as customers.
Yeah, like you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, in Guatemala, we undertook a user-centered design research process, getting at the base motivations and cultural to create a deeper cultural understanding of who it is that we're designing for. And it changed to the point that we were designing with them. We were pulling them, having them create or design their own stove, essentially, and have them be active participants in their in that process.
So there's some flexibility in the whole process.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to have market success, particularly in a place like India, where there's very different cultural custom, you have to start with the people and have the innovation come from them.
Are you planning to come up with any other solar-powered devices, Patrick?
Indeed. I'm just getting started as a successful entrepreneur, and I have a ton of new ideas. A successful inventor, I should say. I'm more of an inventor than an entrepreneur. And if I could have my druthers, I would just stay in the R&D department the whole time. Right now, unfortunately, I've got to manage 15 people and do a lot of other things that I don't love. But that was a great question, David. One of the challenges that we are going to have is that we are cooking inside a tube. And that's not going to change with GoSun because the tube is such a superior cooking environment. And so we have to build all of our designs around the tube. And the tube is generally going to be, you know, rather narrow, say maybe 5 inches on the inside, and then rather long, maybe 20 inches long. So it makes for a design aesthetic that is not immediately intuitive, and it won't really fit into any pre-existing culture.
Well, best of luck with all this. And Braden, Matt, and Patrick, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Mark.
GoSun Stove founder Patrick Sherwin, GoSun Stove founding member and social designer Matt Gillespie, and executive director of thisland.org and adjunct horticulture professor at the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Braden Trouth. Coming up, we'll have a look at esports clubs that are popping up on campuses around the country. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.